Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we come before you again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Father, for the beautiful day that you've blessed us with today, Father, the beautiful week, Father, to be together. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Lord, to be in the house of God. Lord, to be here in your presence this morning, Father. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would draw nigh to us, Father. Lord, as we draw our hearts to you, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would draw nigh to us, Father. Lord, that you would come and meet with us, O God, Father, with each one of us, O God. I pray that you would place a foundation into our hearts, Father, into the hearts of these young people, Father. Lord, place a foundation of the Word of God, Father, a foundation of a relationship with you, O God, Father. Lord, that is living, that is vibrant, that is alive, Father. And God, I just pray, Father, for your wisdom, for your direction, for your guidance, Lord, to be in each of their lives, Father. Lord, as they are here seeking after you, Father, seeking to know your heart, seeking to know your will for their lives, Father. God, I pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself to them, Father. Reveal Jesus Christ. Reveal your will. Reveal direction, Father, for the future to their lives. Today, this weekend, Father, I just pray, Lord, as they go from here, Father, may there be a renewed vision, Father, in their hearts, O God, Lord, to walk with you, and Lord, to just allow you, Father, Lord, to be their guide, and to just give them specific direction in their lives, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would open your word to us this morning, Father. I pray you would minister, Father, your grace, your life. May you just speak to our hearts, Lord, as we come before you this morning and looking into your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I do want to speak on prayer. I've titled the message, Communing with God. And I want to look at the depth of what that means in our lives. You know, we talk a lot about prayer, and we mention prayer a lot, but we want to look a little bit more in depth at what is that? What does that look like in especially in our personal time with God? What is prayer to me? What is prayer to you? What does that look like in your life? What should it look like in our life? What did it look like in Christ's life, who was our example? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Appreciated the message that Ed shared last night on the foundation of repentance, of just clearing our hearts before the Lord, making sure that there's nothing between, nothing hindering that relationship with God, nothing that would hinder that connection with Him. And I want to build on that this morning and looking at building that relationship, at establishing that relationship with God and building on that as a foundation. I believe it's very much a foundation for this week as you all are here, and ultimately for our lives, for the rest of our lives, to lay that solid foundation, that we build on that foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And really want to encourage you this week. I was really blessed this morning. I came up early and saw different ones of you out around, sitting different places, just spending time in the Word, spending time hopefully in communion with God, and I believe you were. And I just want to really encourage each one of you in that. Take time for that this week. You know, you can sit in here in every session and hear a lot of good teaching, good preaching, but ultimately, what's really going to put that to good benefit in your life is if you're establishing and walking in that communion with God on a regular basis, communing with Him. You can come to every youth meeting and get a spiritual high, but until you establish that communion with God, it's just gonna be. It's gonna be a high, and then there's gonna be a low. But just want to encourage you this morning: establish that relationship with God. Exodus chapter 3. We're gonna read some scripture here. I'm going to read quickly. I want to read verses 1 to 20. It's a good bit of reading, but I do want to get the picture here, so I'm going to read through it fairly quickly. So follow along, and let's see where Moses was here. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mightest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, and thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may do sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not with a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. After that, he will let you go. And we know the rest of the story, how the plagues came and ultimately they were taken out of Egypt. But what I want to look at here this morning is Moses here keeping sheep in the backside of the desert. And all of a sudden, there's this bush that was burning but wasn't burning up. And he turned aside to see what it was. And then he said, the Lord called him, and he said, Here am I. And you know, I believe that's why you all are here this weekend. That is your heart. The Lord has called, and you've said, Here am I. And then he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You know, we speak a lot of prayer, the need for it in our lives. We tell others, we'll pray for them. You know, often they're going through a hard time. We say, you know, I'll pray for you. We acknowledge the truth of God's word that prayer is our connection with God, right? We acknowledge that prayer is our connection with God. But how often do we speak kind of lightly of prayer? You know, I've been convicted of that in the past in my own life, that it, you know, it's almost become a byword. It's like, you know, someone shares something, well, I'll pray for you. Do you? Do we really spend time interceding for that person? Or do we most of the time kind of forget about it as we go on with our own busy lives? God told Moses, the place you are standing is holy ground. Why was that? Why was that place holy ground? Was it because Moses was standing there? No. It was because the presence of God was there. The presence of God was there to meet with him, to speak with him. That was why it was holy ground. Do we expect the presence of God when we come before him in prayer? When we come to commune with God, do we expect the presence of God there? Or is it just words that we are saying? And I'm not here condemning anybody's prayer life. Don't get me wrong for that. I'm here to challenge us to expect the presence of God when we meet with him. When you meet with him on a personal level, expect the presence of God there to meet with you, to speak with you, and to give you direction for your day. God was communing with Moses to reveal his heart to him. You know, that, and that's why I wanted to read more verses than just the thing of the holy ground, to get the picture of what God was wanting to portray his heart to Moses. That's why he spoke with him. He wanted to share his heart with him. He wanted to share with him his vision for the children of Israel. He wanted Moses to know his heart, to know his plan. Also think of Abraham when God was planning to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Does anyone know what God's words were? When he had a plan to destroy the city, and then God talks about Abraham. Does anybody know what it says? It says, "How shall I withhold from Abraham this thing which I do?" And I'm not sure if it's right there, but right in that same context, it talks about Abraham being the friend of God. How do you become a friend to someone? You get to know them, right? You spend time with them. You know their heart. You know their likes. You know their dislikes. We spend time with each other. We become close with each other because we are a friend. Abraham was the friend of God. And when God had a plan, he revealed it to Abraham because he said, how can I keep from Abraham this thing which I do? Isaiah, in his vision, he had a vision of who God was. And he was in the presence of God and had the vision of the holiness of God. And he quieted himself before that, and he recognized the greatness, the holiness of God as he came into his presence. And then it says, he heard a voice. And the voice said, "Who will go for us? Who will I send? Who will go for us?" And that's when Isaiah answered and said, "Here am I, send me." This wasn't just some thought that Isaiah had, you know, "Oh, I want to serve God, here am I, send me." He was in the presence of God, attentive to the presence of God and the holiness of God, and that's when he heard the voice. And it wasn't even God speaking specifically to him. If you look at the context, it was simply God just in his throne room speaking, I think, to the holy angels and the spiritual beings there. He was saying, "Who will go for us?" He wasn't saying, "Isaiah, will you go for me?" He said, "Isaiah." He was just who am I going to send? Who's going to go for us? But because Isaiah was tuned into the presence of God, he heard it. He knew the heart of God. He knew the voice of God. And that's what I want to challenge us with this morning, is walking in the presence of God so that we know his heart. We know his voice. And I know there's many things, and I'm not taking away from that. There's so many things in your life right now that you're just like, "God, I need direction. I need wisdom. I need to know what you have for me. I need to know my future." You know, at least we want to know our future, and we need to know an aspect of it. God, what is the next step for my life? And I pray that many of you came here this weekend seeking God specifically for something in your life. I encourage you, if you didn't, pray about that and consider that and ask God, what is the one thing you want me to to take from this weekend? What is the one thing you want to show me? You know, is it something I need to lay on the altar? Is it a deeper walk with you? Is it a direction for the future? Maybe marriage is the next step in your life. I recall being there at one point myself and knowing that that was the next step in my spiritual life. And that may sound maybe a little strange to some of you, but I believe it comes to that point where that is the next step in even in our journey with God. And if that's what you're here for this morning, seek Him for that and ask Him to reveal that. Whatever it is, whatever is the areas in your life, if it's victory, if it's just a deeper walk with Him, you know, and going back to some of the youth meetings, there was a time where I was sitting right there where many of you are sitting, and I remember the first ones I was at, the main thing that I was there for was, Lord, I need a deeper walk with You. I need to pursue my walk with You and go deeper with You. And I wasn't looking at the rest of life, so to speak. But then by the next ones, I knew that was the next step. And so just encourage you to, if you didn't come with something specific, and I'm not saying you have to, but I would really encourage you to seek the Lord. Is there a certain thing that you, and because I believe there is. I believe you are here not by accident. You're here for a purpose. And God wants to reveal Himself to you in a further way in some aspect in your life this week. So make that a matter of prayer this week. So where does God dwell today? You know, we look to Him here in the Old Testament, and here it's, you know, God just like shows up to Moses, and, you know, different, it's kind of more that way in the Old Testament. God just kind of, you know, presents Himself and talks with someone. So where today, where do we find God? Where does He dwell? And you know, we all know, you know, He dwells in my heart, right? God dwells within us. And I'm not taking away from that, but I want to challenge us. Does He dwell in our hearts? The Word of God said He dwells with those that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. Those that tremble at my word, those that walk in obedience and honor to my word and to my will. That's where God dwells, not just anywhere. God dwells with a heart that is broken, that is contrite, that is soft before Him, that He can work in a life that He can dwell in and present Himself through. He is not going to live in someone that is not going to present Him truly and righteously to the world around us. So what is prayer to you? Just going to read through some points here. Is it a time where you just ask God to help you or others? Is it time that you feel as a duty, or perhaps you're only driven there when things are not going well or you're discouraged, when you really don't know where else to go? Are those, you know, is that what the times that really drive you to prayer? And I'm not taking away from that, because we must go to God in those times. He wants us to come. In those times where we don't know where else to turn, those are good places to be. He wants us to come in those times. Prayer is communing with God, talking with God, sharing our hearts with Him, asking Him to meet our needs, and lifting others to Him. But prayer is also so much more than that. God desires fellowship with us. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that in your heart this morning? That God desires fellowship with you. Put your name in there. God desires fellowship with you. He created you because He desired fellowship with you. And it's amazing when we look at who God is and the greatness of who God is and that He created me because He wanted fellowship with me. He wanted a relationship with me. He wants us to turn aside and to meet Him on holy ground. Are we doing that? You know, and we can have all kinds of excuses, especially in the culture that we live in. And it's so I'm going to say the word busy. I've been challenged lately with another brother that said he's going to quit using that word because he believes it's a mindset that just distracts us, that we're too busy. But are we prioritizing our relationship with God and meeting with Him? He's created us in His image so that He could have fellowship with us. You know, we often ask the question, or we hear the question asked, why are we here? What is our purpose in life? Why are we here? You know, we're here to glorify God. We're here to spread the gospel. Yes, but why? What was God's ultimate purpose in creating mankind? Can someone tell me?
He wanted a personal relationship with us.
A personal relationship with Eli. Amen. He wanted a personal relationship with you. That's why you're here. That's why each one of us are here, because God desires a personal relationship with us. That's why He created mankind. He wanted someone that He could relate with, that he could walk closely with. You know, you see there in the garden where He created Adam and Eve, He says, and God walked with them in the cool of the day. He had fellowship with them until sin came in and interrupted that. That is God's ultimate purpose for us to be here, is for us to have relationship with Him. And then as we do that, we draw others into that. We draw others into that relationship. And we want them to know that same relationship, that same God. Do you ever have that feeling that it just feels like God isn't there? You know, it's like, I know, you know, we know that He's there, but it just doesn't feel like God is there. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know, and sometimes I believe God takes us through valleys. God takes us through things where, you know, we cry out to Him and it doesn't feel like He's answering. But I believe He takes us through those times so that we do cry out to Him. It drives us to Him. There's nothing else left but God. And we cry out to Him because we need His presence. We need Him there. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So what does this say here? Does it say if my people pray to me, then I'm going to hear them? And I'm not taking away from God hearing us when we pray, but we heard last night that there can be things that hinder that. There can be areas in our lives that hinder that. There can be, whether we've strayed, whether we've rebelled, we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with an area in our life. Like Brother Ed shared, you know, if he'd have just said, "I'm not going back up there. What I did wasn't that bad. It was half or more my wife's fault anyway," and just kept trying to keep praying. You know, I don't believe he would have entered into that communion with God. So there's things that we need to be sensitive to God about. And I want to encourage you in that. Don't be oversensitive in that. Don't go digging. Keep your life open. Let the Holy Spirit show you. But don't go digging. You know, if the Lord's not revealing anything to you, don't sit there in condemnation because, man, I'm just not feeling it. I just don't feel like I'm getting through. I just don't feel it. Pour that out to God. Tell Him where you're at, and just walk in obedience to what you know. But walk in obedience to what you know. Sometimes it can be the smallest of areas. And I'm just going to share by way of testimony. When I went over to Africa, and that's when I first met Brother Ed, and was over there with him some. I was longer there with Jeff Yoder, but I was there with Ed some. And just Lord began to just do a deep work in my life and began convicting me of things that had happened way, way back. And there was, I'm not going to go into detail for time, but there was a situation where I had not outright lied, but I had misled someone to believe that something that had happened was not, that I was not involved with it. And basically it was by not speaking that they didn't think it was me. And I justified myself and say, well, I didn't lie. They didn't outright ask me. I didn't outright lie about it. But it's little things like that that the Holy Spirit will begin to convict you of. And he strongly convicted me of that. And I wrote an email to the man. Thankfully, I had a contact for him. Well, actually, this is what made it even more embarrassing. So I had to go through, it had to do with a hunting situation, but I had to go through the landowner to his neighbor. Because I didn't have the neighbor. The neighbor is the one that I lied to, if you really want to be honest. And I didn't have a contact for him, but I did for the landowner. So I had to humble myself and send an email to the landowner asking him to tell his neighbor that I was the one and ask him for forgiveness for it. And it was hard. I fought it for probably a week. But every time I came in prayer, God was like, you're not getting through until you take care of that. You're not getting through until you take care of that. And that's the things I'm talking about this morning, is when God lays his finger on something like that, just make it right. Make it right. It's worth it. It's worth it. You keep pushing that aside and keep pushing that aside, and after a bit, you will not. It will lead to confusion. It will lead to not being able to know the voice of God. It will cut off this communion and precious fellowship with God. Humble ourselves. He says, if my people shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. So it's when we humble ourselves, we pray, we seek his face, and we're willing to repent, like we heard last night. We're willing to turn and make things right. That's when God hears us. That's when we enter into that sweeter fellowship with him. So like I said, don't go digging. But when God reveals things, make it right. Let's look a little bit at the life of Jesus, his example, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. So how many of us believe that Jesus' example is worth following? I hope all of you put your hands up. I think you did. Amen. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, I'm not here lifting up or a big thing about praying all night. But what I'm wanting us to see here is that he continued all night in prayer with God. He was in communion and fellowship with God. And then let's keep on going here. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's not where I... skip down to verse 17. And he came down with them, which was his disciples. They had come and met him, and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Why do you think virtue flowed out of Jesus? Why do you think he was able to minister to the multitudes that were around him? I believe it was because he had just spent time with God. He'd spent time in the presence of God, being filled with the presence of God. And that virtue was able to flow out of him, and he was able to minister life. And we're not going to turn to all of these. Matthew 14:23. He sent the multitudes away and went into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, he was there alone. And then that was the night that he walked on water. And there was a storm on the sea, and he walked out. And he walked on water and calmed the sea. John 5:30, Jesus Christ said of himself, I of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. He says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. And also, even at a young age, he told his mother, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business, or doing my Father's will. You know, Jesus knew that that connection with the Father was critical. I believe it was as critical for him as it is for us. It was as critical for him as it is for us. You know, I believe we can kind of tend to get this, and I want to be careful how I say this. I was going to say this high and lofty idea of Jesus, and we need to lift him up. He's worthy of being lifted up. But I believe we tend to look at him as and his life as something that is unattainable for us. But his life here on earth was as a man. And the life that he lived is attainable for you and I. It's attainable by the same Spirit, by the same Word, by the same communion with God that Jesus Christ had. And he set us an example that we should follow in his steps. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, not just a religious get together or gathering, or just a place that we go to because that's the way we grew up. My house shall be called a house of prayer. You know, as soon as church is over, what is our focus? What are we talking about? Where do our minds gravitate to? What is our focus? You know, church is over. The sessions are over. I want to challenge you this week. What is our focus? What are we talking about? Are you enduring the session so you can go play volleyball? And again, I am not bashing volleyball. But what are we here for? What are you here for? What are you seeking after? Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, and in that passion, he was specifically talking about submission. But do we have the mind of Christ? Do we have a mind of Christ that seeks after God? That he says here, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. I can of myself do nothing, but as I hear, I judge. Is that our mind? Do we have the mind of Christ? Seeking a relationship with the Father that we can walk in his will. Moving on now, Jesus said to the disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. This was when he went out to pray in the garden, and he took some of the disciples with him, and he told them, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, I want to make it very clear, he was not instructing them to pray and say, please, God, don't let me be tempted. Don't let me, you know, don't let temptation come my way. That's not what he was telling. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. In other words, he was saying, be alert. Watch, be alert. Commune with God, and you will not enter into temptation. And young people, I want to tell you, this is so true. This is so vital in our lives, and this is so true. That when we have that communion with God and our hearts are in tune with him and we are following after him, we're pursuing him with all of our heart. We're pursuing that relationship. That relationship has become so precious to us that we won't allow anything to stand in the way. And I don't believe there's any, I don't think there's any dating couples here, but for those of us that are married, you know, when we were pursuing that relationship, there wasn't anything that was going to stand in the way. There wasn't any distance. There wasn't much as far as, I mean, you're a little bit limited in cost, but it's amazing what we as young men all spend for that relationship. Time, energy, money. It's a priority. It's a focus. And so it needs to be with our communion with God, with our relationship with God. It needs to be first, really. That needs to come first before we even look at pursuing a relationship here on this earth. But to the point where that relationship is so dear that we will sacrifice anything, that we won't let anything stand in the way. And I'm telling you, young people, if you pursue that, if you pursue God in that way, obviously we know, and I'm not here, we are not, sin is not eradicated out of us or out of this world. But if you pursue God in that way, you will not enter into temptation. You will not enter into the temptation of this world. It will be behind you. It will be, your focus is on that relationship with nothing, allowing nothing to come in between. And if something does, you will immediately take care of it because that relationship is so precious that you will do anything to keep it that way. And this is what Jesus is teaching his disciples here. And this is his heart for us. And this is my heart for you all this weekend, is that there would be nothing. You know, we see here the disciples, did they listen? Did they obey what he told them? Who can tell me? Did they watch him pray? What happened? What did they do? They fell asleep. They were tired, right? And they fell asleep. While what was Jesus doing? While they were sleeping. He was praying. What was he saying? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. And while he was there praying that, the disciples fell asleep. And then what happened next? The soldiers came to take Jesus away, right? And what did the disciples do? Did they know the will of God? Did they know the plan? They pulled out their swords, right? At least Peter did. Chopped off a guy's ear. Tried to defend Jesus. And when that didn't work, they scattered. They were fearful. They entered into temptation, right? Because they did not know the will of God. You know, I truly believe that had they watched and prayed with Jesus, they would have known the will of the Father. They would have known that this is what God has designed for Jesus to go through. But they didn't. They forsook him and fled because they didn't know the will of the Father, because they had simply fallen asleep. And how many times do we do that? We don't put the effort into our relationship with God, and we simply fall asleep in our spiritual lives. We fall asleep and we just, you know, and then we end up, you know, falling into temptation. We end up, could you say, stumbling through life because we don't have a clearly defined purpose of the will of God for our lives. God desires, young people, to show each one of you a purpose and a calling for your life. I believe that with all my heart. He has a purpose. He has a calling for each one of you. And that, I'm not saying that means that you decide to pursue God today and tomorrow you're going to wake up and know the next 10 years. But I believe you're going to know the next step. If you walk in this communion, in this relationship with God, you will know the next step. You won't need to be in confusion. You won't need to be in bondage and confusion. You will know the next step. How did Jesus know the will of the Father? Obviously here he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, nevertheless, thy will. He knew the will of the Father. He knew the will of the Father because he spent time with the Father. And again, back to the question, how do we get to know the heart of someone? We spend time with them. We commune with them. We cultivate a relationship. We are attentive to their desires, their dreams, and their passions. How attentive are you to God's will, to his passions? What is on the heart of God? Do you seek to know the heart of God on a daily basis? Do you seek to know God's heart for your life today, tomorrow? Seek that. I encourage you, seek that. Commune with God. Do you know what communion with God is? Have you ever had a really good heart-to-heart with someone, with another person? I imagine most of you probably have. Just a good heart-to-heart connection, maybe something you're going through, a trial you're going through, or maybe it's a victory. You've just had a really good heart-to-heart. That is the communion that God desires to have from us. Just that deep sharing with Him, that fellowship with Him. My next question is, when you pray, do you hear His voice? Do you know the voice of God? Write that down as a challenge. Do I know the voice of God? When God speaks, do I know that voice? You know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice and come at my call." In other words, they obey. They walk in obedience to my voice. Do you know the heart of God today? Do you know the will of God for your life? I want to look next at knowing the heart of God. Does the question come to you, how can I know that? How can I know the heart of God? Or maybe you're saying, can we know the heart of God? Obviously, we can read the Word and we know the heart of God is that mankind comes into relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. That is one aspect of the heart of God. But how can I know the heart of God for my life? How do I hear His voice? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Not sure if this is the right reference. It's not looking right. Okay, it's 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 to 16. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. Where does that come from? It says here, the Spirit of God reveals it to our spirit. Again, it's spending that time in communion with Him, in communion with God. We look at the life of Daniel. It says he was skilled in all wisdom and understanding. He knew the times that he was living in. You know, God revealed Himself to Daniel in dreams. Why was that? Why did God reveal Himself so much to Daniel? Daniel chapter 9, let's turn there real quick. I'm trying to remember, what time am I supposed to be done? Here, I'm the one with the schedule, and I'm not even sure. Very shortly here. I'll wrap this up in a few minutes. Okay, Daniel. God revealed himself to Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. Actually, we might not read all this. Maybe that's not the one that I... Anyway, I don't think we're going to read all this scripture. We don't have time. But anyway, Daniel, early in his life, had purposed to not defile himself. When they were taken into Babylon, Daniel purposed not to defile himself with anything. You know, he stood, he requested pulse instead of all the fancy food that was offered them. But Daniel purposed in his life not to defile himself. The other thing Daniel did is Daniel prayed. We see Daniel regularly commune with God 3 times a day. Daniel prayed. He set his face to seek the Lord, and he knew the word. If you look into the life of Daniel, he knew the word. He knew the word that they had up to that point. He knew the scriptures. He knew the heart of God. He communed daily with him. And, you know, we look at the life of, Daniel and some of those great men of God, and we go, wow. At least I have gone, man, that would be amazing to be able to walk with God in that way. But what was the secret? He communed with God. He knew the heart of God, and therefore God communed with him. God spoke to him in visions and dreams, and we don't have time to go into the latter part of Daniel there where God just really spoke to him. Another place there in, I believe it's here, it's either in chapter 9 or 10, it says he set his face to seek the Lord. Daniel needed to hear from God, and it says he set his face to seek the Lord. He understood everything there was to understand in the ways of knowledge and wisdom, yet he knew that he needed to know the heart of God. You know, it said he knew, he was schooled in all wisdom and understanding in the ways of Babylon, which was very, very highly. I mean, you could probably say he had a bachelor's degree in the highest education that was available, which was extremely high even to our standards today. And yet, he said, I need to know the heart of God. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And it took 3 weeks for the angel to come through, because he was pressing through. The enemy so desperately did not want him to know the heart of God that the angel had to fight through to bring the word of God, to reveal God's heart to him. So don't give up. You know, don't give up as you go from here. Persevere, press in, know the heart of God. Just a few questions I want to ask in closing here is, do you know the will of God for your life? Is your heart in full communion with God? If not, what are you allowing that is hindering it? Are you walking in full victory over sin? Have you fully repented of all known sin in your life? Are you walking in the joy of the Lord? Are you fully yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And then the question that is probably on many of your all's minds or hearts is, how do I start? How do I cultivate this? Where do I start in cultivating this relationship with God? Number one, get alone with God and leave all distractions behind. Number two, share with him, and I encourage you to share with him. Get alone and pray audibly. Pray out loud. There's something that does in a communion with God, to pray out loud, I don't believe you can. Yeah, Anyway, I believe it takes you to a further place, and just communion with God in verbally. Share with him what you're feeling, your desire for a deeper walk with him, that you want to know His voice and you desire communion with Him. If there is known sin in your life, repent and ask His forgiveness. Praise God for His faithfulness and goodness in your life. Don't forget that one. In fact, I love to start with that one. Name as many as you can and be specific about it. When you come before the Lord in prayer, start out by praising Him and name those things and thank Him for His faithfulness. If you need help with that, read Psalm 103. And I'd love for you all to read that here sometime this week. So write that down, Psalm 103. Rejoice in who God is, not just in what He's done for you, but simply who He is, because He is worthy. Ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to search your heart and to cleanse you from anything that is hindering a close communion with Him. Walk in complete obedience to what He shows you. And walk in this consistently. Embrace conviction, but don't condemn yourself. And the last one is, God desires our fellowship more than anything else in our lives. And David understood this. In Psalm 52, he said, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it." But he recognized that God wanted a broken heart, a relationship with Him, and a heart that goes on with Him. God desires to establish a deep and full communion with each one of us. If we are willing to surrender everything to Him, He has promised in His Word that He will be our God. He has left the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and has promised to lead us into all truth. Will we follow Him? And I want to encourage you, as you go from here, strive to know the voice of God. Strive to know the voice of God in your life. Know when you come before Him in prayer, know that He is speaking to you. Know what He is speaking to you, and to walk in that communion and that fellowship with Him.